Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Like promised, another special episode that I want to share with you guys. I have interviewed them individually, but now I want to show you guys the dynamic when it comes together. I want to show you guys what a marriage looks like in the sense of a real marriage where, hey, it's not perfect. We're never going to say it is perfect. But what we are going to say is we love each other and we know that we value each other in that sense. So I want to welcome Rudy and Tanya. Thank you guys for being here once again.
Thank you for having us.
I have a couple rules before we start. No fighting.
Oh, I think we have to go.
Yeah, I'm giving them a taste of their medicine when they do counseling sessions. No se digan indirectas. No, I'm just kidding. No, guys, but thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing in previous episodes a little bit about yourselves. I think for me, what impacted me the most is how you guys are just so vulnerable, so honest, and healing. I think those are the three components that really make me go like, wow, like I admire that so much. When I look at people that I want to follow and lead, I look at people that do it as an example in themselves. I remember going to a church with you guys, and Rudy was helping reconstruct the church. And I told Jackie, you know what I love about Rudy is he's out there and he's picking up chairs too. Because I see other pastors that are like, vayan, recojan las sillas. But Rudy was doing it. Jackie has shared with me in the past as well that, Tanya, you have also, like, she didn't tell me the details, but she just said, Tanya told me, you know, that I have complete access to correct her, to tell her if I feel that something's wrong. And I'm like, you don't get that type of accountability from people. Some people are afraid to give accountability. But anyways, guys, I'm sharing that from my heart to you guys. So thank you. Yeah. In this particular episode, I definitely want to hit a topic where you guys speak it so freely, first of all. It's crazy because I feel like the Hispanic culture just never wants to talk about these things. But you guys, and because the reason why I say it is because, like, when I told Jackie about my pornography issue, I was so embarrassed. And even right now, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I still do it, though, because I've learned if I just put it out there, it's not going to be embarrassing for me at some point. But with you guys, I definitely want to hear a little bit about the story, whichever one wants to go first, as far as what happened in your guys' situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, we lost vulnerability. That's why Adam and Eve had to cover up. And since the beginning, humanity has always been tried to cover up their pain, their past, their trauma, and whatever they're dealing with in the present. And I brought that over to our marriage when I married Tanya, is that I also brought this false sense of protection that I thought no one was going to ever find out about my pornography issue. But, you know, unbeknownst to me, when you get married, everything is magnified and everything gets exposed. And the one that magnifies it and exposes it, it's the relationship, the everyday living, the everyday seeing each other, the everyday moving of life. And so Tanya comes out and finds out that I'm dealing with pornography because she finds a Playboy magazine in my sock drawer that I was hiding. That day she decided to be a good wife and she thought she was going to do laundry and put clothes away. And she finds this pornography, and now, and obviously all this hell breaks loose, and you know, I'm the bad one and she's the good one. There's nothing wrong with her. There's everything wrong with me. And so that component was really allowed us to even you to kind of deal with me in a different way. Mm-hmm. What did you find out?
Yeah, that first time I found out, I mean, I think I said every bad word in the, you know, like, what the heck? What
do no.
you? Yes.
You?
Yes.
No. Oh, you especially, guys are Christian.
Especially because I had Alexis with us, who's our 6-year-old. And I was like, I can't, I can't even imagine that
at
you...
At the time, she was six.
Yeah, she was six at that time. I felt good screaming and letting him know how bad he was. And then the second time I found it, the Holy Spirit really nudges me and is like, leave it there. I'm like, what the heck? What do you mean, leave it there?
I think it's important to point out the second time, but from the first time to the second time, I didn't look for any help. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to anyone. I thought that I was going to do it on my own. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't even know where to start. So it was just, okay, it's not going to happen again. We're going to fix it. And you find it the second time.
Yeah, I don't even think there was a commitment on his part that he wasn't going to do it. I mean, I was so upset the first time that there really wasn't like, I'm sorry. It was so defensive. It was
hiding.
It was all of that. Like, I'm not the problem. You're going crazy. What? It's just a magazine. What's the big deal? Right? And so obviously didn't validate my feelings, didn't see that it was a sin issue, was wrong, it was hurting me, and I took it super personal. So there was no resolution. And then the second time...
It kind of just was swept under the rug.
Just like, whatever. I mean, I have to continue being a mom. I have to continue doing what I have to do, and he's going to have to figure it out.
And were you guys, like, affectionate at that time or distant at that time?
No, I think we came back. At that time, this was like, wow, like 19 years ago. The way that we would resolve conflict was that when I would go get very explosive and he would shut down, and he was shut down for a few days. So I can't imagine that the next day we were up and ready to go. He would shut down, and then I'd get really upset and I'd get isolated, and then it would take us a couple of days before we'd come back, but we wouldn't come back to talk about what happened. We would come back and like, okay, well, guess what? The kids have a field trip, and then just continue life.
You want to go eat?
Yeah. Like, and then like, oh, I would
babe, say, are you listening? This sounds very familiar.
Or I would just say,
it sounds very familiar.
Like, what do I say? What can I, like, to break the ice? Because I'm not going to live like this for the rest of my life. And the second time I find out, that's where I feel from the Holy Spirit, just leave it. And I'm like, that's not God. How could he want me to live something that's sin in the house? And he's like, you're taking it personal. This is his issue. And he goes, I remember him really highlighting to me that if you try to change him, the change is temporary. But if I change him, then the change is eternal. And so, and then I'm like, what do I do? Like, and he's like, do what you know how to do. Pray for him. And start to be that safe place where he can start. And I didn't know the language because I wasn't a counselor, but basically where he can process or where he doesn't feel judged now that I know the language. So I left it and I started to do that. And little by little, I started to see a shift in him. And then you started to put like the X3 watch, I think, on your computer. And then I was his accountability partner. But then one of our pastor friends who also had dealt with pornography said, you know, that's not healthy for you to be the accountability partner because it's going to stain you each time you see something. And so in all of that, I stopped looking at him as a problem and I started to see, well, I have self-esteem issues. My lack of identity and confidence is down. So I'm going to work on that. And I started to work on that. So then I then started to understand that is his issue. This is my issue. And when he does that, it's not because he doesn't love me. And when he does that, it's not because I'm not good enough or I'm fat or I'm ugly or I'm skinny. It's because that's his own sin issue that he has to deal with. So I have to protect and set boundaries around my heart. Like, this is who I am. And if I can grow in this, then I create a special place of us to connect. Well, then we'll help him detach from that to attach to me.
Yeah.
So that's fast forward now, knowing all the language.
That's crazy. And when you caught the second time, how long in between from the first time?
It wasn't that much long, maybe a couple months. I don't remember, but it wasn't that long. What I would do, though, later on, like as I would, because I would feel it. I would feel like something was off and I didn't know if he was going to watch it or if he had watched it. I would come in and I'm like, hey, hun, I'm praying for you. Like specifically like that, like this tone. Hey, hun, I'm praying for you. And he wouldn't even respond. So it was my way of letting him know that I knew something was up without saying something was up. And it was my way. And then he would, with him not saying anything, like I knew he was capturing it rather than coming in. Oh my gosh, what's on again? And so that's how I started to show that I could be that person for him. And actually a couple years ago, we were, I think in Paris and I think it was Paris or Portugal. I don't remember where we were at. And I said, hey, so how is that sin issue going? Like, but like that, like, how's that pornography issue? but just very, and he's like, no, I'm good. And it was just, I don't know if it was, I had felt to ask him, he answered and I felt it was fine, but it was just such a beautiful space of like, I would have been okay if he would have said he wasn't okay. And yeah, I think it was the first time I had ever felt that in my heart that way.
That's crazy. Yeah, because Jackie asked me the same question and I answer it and I tell her, I feel like you don't believe me. Like, I feel like this isn't a me thing. I think this is a you thing. Like, and I'm okay. Ask it 1,000 times. Like, I don't have a problem. Keep me accountable like it is. But that's something we're working with. Last time she kind of, when she told me or I told her that I feel you don't believe me. Like something, I don't want to say clicked, but something made her really start thinking like, okay, like, you know, let's give them that benefit of the doubt and go forward. But how did it make you feel, Rudy, when she would say, you know, I'm praying for you?
Yeah, no, I think that was a conviction because at that time I was still wrestling with that and I still was watching porn. And so it kind of like convicted me and it like scared me because I was like, dang, how does she know the Holy Spirit is real? Like, you know, this is like in my beginning journey of being a Christian. And so I was like, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit, like, you know, revealed it to her and all that stuff. But I want to magnify and clarify what she said. She said, the pornography was my issue. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And she had her issue. Many times what happens is that we make the person the issue rather than the pornography. Mm-hmm. Her low self-esteem and everything else, that's the issue. It's not Tanya the issue. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that when we get attacked as men, because I think we talk about it more than men, but also women are watch pornography and also women are affected by pornography. Mm-hmm. I think that we feel attacked whenever the woman comes and because we feel attacked and because that's something that is questioning our manhood, our authority, then we shut down. And so when she made it about the pornography and not about me, I felt more comfortable to coming to her and even talking about this. We opened an office in Covina and every office that I've had, my desk has always looked out towards the doorway or a window or anything, because that just brings accountability to me so that if anyone walks by, they see what I'm watching in my screen. And in this new office in Covina, the desk was opposite of the doorway. So there was no one that can see what I was watching. And Tanya made she walked in and she says, oh, you're not going to have your desk face the doorway? And, you know, like it didn't trigger me to be like, what? You don't trust me? Like, what? Like, you know, but it just like, it reassured me that she had my back. Mm. And so the way that I answered to her was like, no, I thought it would fit this way, but you know what? You're right. And and she came back, she didn't tell me to switch it, but when she came back, I already had switched it. Mm-hmm. And so again, it was just that accountability, just like, yeah, you're right. You know, and making sure that's always something that doesn't become a stumbling block into what I've been called to do.
And that was something he had set up for himself. That wasn't something like I had said that this is what had to happen. So when I saw that, I was like, I just wanted to reminding him like, hey, is that what you want? Fine. If you don't want to, like that's on you. But I kind of just threw it out there. And so when I went back and I saw it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't even a fight. It could have been a huge fight, but it wasn't a fight.
Yeah,
and that's just recently, yeah, like a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I hear that. And for me, you know, I try my best to, you know, learn from what other people are sharing. Like, that's an accountability that you have. My accountability, the way that I do it, is that my phone is linked to my iPad. It's linked to my computer. And I think that's it. But Jackie knows the passwords to everything. The kids know the passwords to everything. They constantly ask me for my phone. And I say, here you go. And it's a thing that I'm like, I remember, and if I'm being honest, in the past, it would be like when they're about to reach for you. And it's kind of a thing going on social media right now where the partner is going to like grab something, but then the other one grabs the phone real quick. And now I'm just like, I'm so comfortable. And I honestly, genuinely thank God. It's so relieving where when you have nothing to fear, it's like, go do it. It's just so awesome. So that's awesome that, you know, no one told you. You just felt as a man. That's how I can stay accountable, you know. That's awesome. Yeah. So obviously pornography an issue, but it didn't just stop there.
Mm-mm. No, the first 3 years of our marriage were living hell. They were worse than my divorce.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It was really difficult because like I had shared previously, I was coming in with so much baggage and trauma that I didn't even know that I was carrying. All I knew is I had been married for 12 years and I had 2 children and I kind of looked successful. I owned a house. I had gone to school. I had owned a business. So I was like, I'm pretty good. Like, I felt really good about myself. And it was that whole pride issue. He comes and we are married, and then you try to blend a family. So I already had 2 kids and he's coming in. So he's coming in from a medical field. Everything is black and white. He's coming in like seeing the Bible like black and white with no grace. And he would come home and, you know, call me at work. And do you know that, you know, Jordan didn't wash the dishes and da 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 da. And I'm like, seriously, I'm at work. Like, this is like, that's not eternal. I'd always say that's not eternal. Like, we can take care of that later. And then he would call me like that. And I'm like, oh, this is so. And then it would only increase my pride. See, he doesn't even know. Da 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 da. Like, I was fine without him. I knew how to live my life without a man. I had been a single mom. I had my own rhythm. And now he's going to come and interrupt me. And like, that's the background noise, not stuff that I would say to him. I wouldn't say that to him. But if I'm thinking it, I'm feeling it. And if I'm feeling it, I'm somehow portraying it in my behavior. But I wouldn't. I don't remember ever putting him down that way from my mouth. But my posture was very much like that. And I think it's important as people are hearing, because sometimes we're like, well, I don't disrespect my husband like that. Or
absolutely.
But you don't have to.
And it's so funny.
You don't have to. Just the eyes and the posture.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because as you were saying it, my mind, I'm already praying. I'm like, thank you. Like, God, let it resonate with someone that's watching or listening. So it's true. So it's true.
So we think it's because of language, but it's not. It was more that posture. And so then, you know, it was, instead of like doing this, it was like I didn't create. So marriage is like this, where you have the unity, husband and wife. And because I had my hurt and pain, I came in like this, and he had his, so he came in like this. So it was like clashing, and neither one of us really were opening up so that this can come in. And this is really pride. So you're clashing. And so we clashed so much that he's like, you don't want to be a wife, then I'm leaving. And he worked in the medical field, so he wouldn't come home and he wouldn't sleep at the house. And it was easy to tell the kids that he was working, because he was working a lot. And then I find out I was pregnant with our first son together. And I remember it was in one of those fits. I would always call him his berrinches, his fits. And then I started seeing him like a kid. He's just going to leave. And so I'm like, shoot, now I have to call him and let him know I'm pregnant. He's going to think I'm trying to keep him. I remember being in the car and I'm like, hey, I'm pregnant. Like, and I'm crying. And I'm like, you can do whatever you want with that, but I'm pregnant and I'm going to have the baby. And so he starts coming around. But again, it didn't matter if I was pregnant. It didn't matter. He was in his thing. I was in my thing. And then finally, I think I was like 6.5 months pregnant. And he's like, okay, I'm done. You don't want to do this. I'm done. And when he did that, I remember I called my pastor. I'm like, he's done. He's like, serious. This is not like the same thing. Like, this is not a berrinche. Like, he's leaving. And I call my parents. And I remember we lived in a really big home at that time, and he comes down with his, like, not even a suitcase, like a duffel bag, and he walks down, and he's like, I'm out of here. And I'm like, he's done. Oh, my gosh. He gets in the car, and even you were even mean to the pastor. And to, I just remember my brother was like, see you later, fella. I remember, and he just takes off. And then what happens?
What was running through your mind at that moment?
Yeah, man, I wanted a wife. I knew Tanya had 2 kids, and, you know, I knew what I wanted. And I share with you in our podcast that, you know, I've always been a leader. I've always had structure. I've always known where I wanted to do. And so when I came in, I was leading my home. And, you know, for Tanya, she saw that as you know, the kids are not ready. This is not what my family has been, and so you're not going to come and do that here. And I just wanted to lead. I wanted to protect. I had everything that I'm seeing my kids live out. It's what I planned from day one that I met Tanya. And so that was for me, where like, well, then, you know, if you want to be a mom rather than a wife, then I'll go and find someone else that wants to be a wife. And so that's always been my you know, I've always had conviction, and I've never been led by position or money or influence or status, but convictions. And I think that was a conviction that rocked our family, but also rocked our future for a purpose. And so, I went and got an apartment like I shared in Newport Beach, and just kind of like, man, I was praying, I was looking for God, but had a true encounter with God at that moment. And he said, stop getting me involved where I don't belong. And I looked around, bro, and that was the first time that I heard God's audible voice. And at the time, Tanya was pregnant in the big house. I was alone, still having an affair with this person in that apartment in Newport Beach. And I was reminded that God is a God of covenants. And where God was going to work in my covenant of marriage and not in my sin. And so, and that's when we started our individual work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we started getting this partnership, teammate, suitable helper, you know, we're in this together.
Yeah. 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 So I want to touch bases before, I want to share really quick. Now, if you're watching and you're listening, I understand that some of these topics can quickly spark a conflict, can quickly spark out of nowhere. It can quickly spark something uncomfortable. But I believe, and I've had it through Rudy and Tanya, where when you speak truth, it could get uncomfortable, but God can do something so great with truth. Mm-hmm. But when we're hiding and we're pretending it's not there, God is going to work where the area that is given to him for him to work in, but he won't do the entire thing if we're not willing to give it to him. So with that being said, I kind of want to go back to, so when you had your duffel bag and you left, you already were speaking to someone else.
Yeah.
So you were like, I'm out. Got it.
That actually, I don't know if it was before or after, it was so long ago, but I think you told me.
No, you were with him.
I was.
You were in the house. I remember the details.
But you told me that from Big
Bear. And you knew? Yeah. You knew that he was talking to someone else?
Yes. I started to capture, you know, us women have that FBI.
Yes.
And I agree. Yes.
It's something so, we know.
And men, I know when our wives, like, ask us a question and we get defensive, we got to start asking ourselves that question, why? Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe they do have that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yes. So I had started to feel, and then that something was off. And when I did, I remember I caught some things. Yeah, I remember you were home because I caught some things like in your jacket, and then I think on your cell phone. And then you were in and out, but this one time you were in, and it was for Big Bear and Christmas, and I was already like really pregnant, and it was somebody that he had been working with, so I knew like her uncle. I remember I told him, hey, I need to go. We're going to go to the mountains. I said, I'm going to go really quick to Big Five or Dick's Sporting Goods. I need to go buy like beanies for the babies. I just need to get out of the house in the morning because I was going to meet with the uncle. And then I go and I meet, and I'm here. I'm like pregnant. I'm like, wow, like that's so humiliating. What is he going to say? But I'm like, hey.
Pregnant with Noah?
With Noah. And I said, you know, I don't know if you know, but Noah, like Rudy is hanging out with your niece. This is what's happening. Like, I haven't thrown him out of the house. Like, I want my family. And I don't know if you know that we have two older kids, and I just said everything. And he's like, well, just know that from my part, like, that's not acceptable. And if my niece doesn't stop, then I'm going to kick her out of the house. And I know that this is someone that Rudy like respected. So I was putting like everything out on the line for it. And I came back, we went to the mountains, and in the mountains, like it all exploded. That's when he found out that I really knew, because then I remember he was driving and the message comes up like, I can't be with you anymore. So the woman is now telling him because the uncle went back to tell her, and he lost it. He lost it. And I remember we were coming down the mountain and he was like driving really crazy. And my mother-in-law's like, stop the car. You're going to kill us. And so he stopped it. And he opens the door and says to both of us to get out. And he left us on the side of, like, the Big Bear Mountain, not in front of a cafe, like, on the literal side where there was snow on the mountain. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what is up with it? Like, what happened? And And then thank God his family was ahead, so he went and told them that he had left us, and then that's when you packed all your stuff and you left for the second time for real.
Yeah. So that's where the duffel bag came from.
That's crazy. Yeah. And you know what I love about that? I say love, like, for example, where you said, you know, he stopped the car and left you guys literally right there on the side of the mountain. And quickly, my mind, the unhealthy mic goes, you know, que poco hombre, you know, right? You think that. And I'm being honest. Yeah. You guys always know I'm going to be honest. But what I love about that is, like, if you guys paid attention, my man here didn't get offended. Mm-hmm. He probably recognized that is of a poco de hombre. Mm-hmm. And those are moments that I have realized too, because if we're honest, I have done similar things that it's like I've been such a coward to Jackie. Mm-hmm. So again, thank you for the vulnerability. So then this happens. From my understanding, it's been on and off. Because you kind of knew, but obviously it blew up this time. You got your duffel bag. You're out. You're thinking the grass has to be greener on the other side.
Come on, somebody.
Right?
That's right.
And is it?
Come on, bro. You know, single, bilingual, ready to mingle.
He had not healed all of that.
I understand. Like I understand.
Mindset.
But that's exactly what I want to show everyone. Yeah. It's like, man, we make some decisions.
Yeah. And if that mindset is still lingering and you haven't divorced that mindset when you get married, then when things go wrong, you go straight right back there. Yeah. And it fuels, you see?
It's your default.
Told you would be better without her.
Yeah, it's your default default setting. Rudy tells me that all the time. You're going back to your default mode, Mike. Default mode. And I'm like, and it's so hard to rewire your mind, but you do have to constantly do it.
Yeah. No. So for me, you know, I mean, I'm going to find someone that's going to love me. That actually was my prayer. And my prayer was, Lord, can you send me someone that is going to understand me? Because I was a perfect husband, right? There was nothing wrong in me. Lord, can you send me a woman that's going to be a great mom to my son who's about to be born? Like that was like, there was no part in me that said, Rudy, you're the problem.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier you had, like, conviction that you just felt like God. My question is, where was the conviction knowing you were cheating on your wife?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At that moment when I heard that audible voice, you know, stop getting me involved where I don't belong. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
no, what I mean, though, is before the audible voice of God came, like there was no conviction. You felt okay doing it.
Yeah, that's because I already had checked out in my mind. Because she, I was in and out. Mm-hmm. So in that in and out already, I was already checked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I was like, she didn't want a husband.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
She didn't want me to lead. Mm-hmm. She didn't want me to protect. She didn't want me to establish any of the culture. Mm-hmm. So that conviction had been long gone because I've already felt that we were done. Like we were.
Got it.
And
that's what I'm trying to understand.
Because we did counseling.
Prior?
Yeah.
Well, during that time.
We did some counseling.
And I left her. Uh-huh. I left her once in front of a therapist.
Three times.
Yeah. Well, once with the therapist, uh-huh. once with the pastor, and because they would blame everything to the kids. Mm-hmm. It's because of blended family. Oh, because of the kids. Uh-huh. I'm like, no. Uh-huh. I mean, I love the kids. I know what I got myself into. I've raised those kids like they're my own. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no difference between the two older ones and the two younger ones. Mm-hmm. They same culture, same values, same everything. And I would hate that they would bring the kids into them. And so that's why I would leave. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, my convictions were already gone because
makes sense.
I wasn't being respected at home.
Yeah, and I think his convictions were defaulting to him. Like, because he was already checked out, it was like, this is giving me the conviction that I need to do what's best for me.
Yeah.
And it was already a sin issue, so then it's like the conviction of God is to the side. He's just being true to himself.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to. Good. Yep, yeah. And I got that. I got that as you were saying that. And it's crazy, guys, because I didn't know these details. I knew the big aspect of it, but not the details. And I'm hearing it, and I'm like, it's similar situations with me and Jackie. And you guys have been our mentors. You guys have been our counselors. You guys can hold me accountable. I have wanted to leave our counseling sessions because they get so heated. I have gotten mad at this guy, guys. Like, me le puesto, you know, if we're not through the webcam, I'm probably, like, getting in his face, guys. Like, se pone fuerte las cosas because things get called out, things get put, and my man here will not hold back. Like, he will tell you the truths. And for me, what that's encouraged me is I am the type of person that, you know, I'm trying to be respectful, and I will be, but I have a natural thing where God just puts in me where I want to ask the questions at least. Mm-hmm. Even if they're uncomfortable, I at least want to ask the questions. Yeah. Okay, so then this happened. So after you started having conviction where God said, hey, no me metas en esas cosas. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that's not me. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, the spirit starts working in both of us. So mm-hmm. she's dealing with her pride issue. But one thing that Tanya, you know, was consistent in pursuing me. Mm-hmm. So not only was God pursuing me, but Tanya was pursuing me.
And I was pursuing you because that's what God was telling me to do. Because a lot of people were saying, like, you're just trying to, like, win him over. Mm-hmm. But I literally would wake up in the morning and say, okay, what's my assignment, God? Like, what do you want me to do with this relationship? And he said, I want you to call him.
Yeah, because everyone told her to leave me. Yeah. Like, everyone.
Everybody, including my pastor. Everybody told
me. My parents.
Yeah. And so I started to really listen and lean into the voice of God. And he said, I want you to call him. I want you to treat him to a nice restaurant. And I'm like, how? Like, even the night that his birthday, that morning, I knew he was with a girl. Because I had access to all his stuff, even if you didn't think I had access to it. God said, and now I want you to take him for his birthday at night, and I want you to show him that he's a priesthood of your home. Mm, like, that night he's with a girl, and he wants me to do that. And
that's
so
crazy.
Those things he did I think it was more about me than it was for him, because he was peeling back all that pride that was, like, humiliating me, really. And so then the baby's almost ready to be born. I'm starting to go through the contractions. And so he starts to come around. And I let him come around, and then he was with me when the baby was born, and then he started to stay at the house, and I wanted to, I mean, I like to know my structure, I want to know what's going on, and every time I wanted to say, like, okay, so what's going on? Like, are you going to come home or not? The Lord would say, don't say anything yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll tell you when.
That's insane.
So this whole time, he was coming, like, staying with me and everything, and then 2 weeks after, I remember him saying, hey, I'm thinking about, like, letting go of the house or the apartment in Newport Beach. Like, is it okay if I come home? Like, what is that going to look like? And then that's when the Holy Spirit tells me to start sharing him. Like, yeah, but we're going to have to go through some counseling with our pastor. We have to do something. And so we did. Our pastor took him under his wing and really showed him a lot of love. And I continued to do by this time I had the baby, and we were going through our stuff. Still really rocky. But very committed. And then 7 months later, I'm pregnant with Abella. And I cried. I cried for a week because I thought, man, if he leaves me, I'm going to be a single mom with 4 kids. And I kept hearing the voice of my ex-husband. See, you're the problem with me and you're the problem with him. And look at you now. Now you're single with 4 babies. That's what I kept hearing. And then after that, after Abella was born, she was like the rainbow after our storm. Or she is the rainbow after our storm. And from that point on, there was like no going back. We kept going, and after that, then the Lord calls us to church, to be pastors, to church plant, you know, to come back and pastors, to have Breath of Life. Everything was very quickly after that, like, no more, no more. Because for the first 7 months, it was really rocky. I think we were both trying to go back to our ways in some way, somehow, but then we would come back and come back and come back, and then after she was born, that was it. There was no going back to our ways.
Mm. Yeah, I think the healing is found in the process. Mm-hmm. And the process of commitment, mm-hmm. and in the process of vision, mm-hmm. and in the process of legacy. Mm-hmm. Because I think that both of us had every right to divorce. Obviously, I had been unfaithful, so biblically she had every right to divorce. I was looking for my happiness. She was looking for her happiness. But I think in that process of humility, in the process of legacy, of vision, I think that's where our healing was found, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in the commitment of, no, we need to see this through. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful that Tanya was humble enough, that God was gracious enough, and that we were both willing to put in the work, mm-hmm. To make this work, because it mm-hmm. takes two people. Mm-hmm. And sex. I think one component that many, many marriages don't do is sex. And I think that's the glue. And that's why the Bible doesn't say that two become one spirit or one two become one in prayer. But it's actually a physical sexual encounter that the husband and wife has. And the devil, because we do have an enemy, the devil comes to do everything to have you have sex before marriage. But then when you get married, it's the least thing that we do is sex. And I think because of our sexual life, I think that, you know, I don't blame Tanya, you know, for wanting this this body right here. But, you know, but I think that's been that's that that component has been the key to overcoming all these battles in the process of healing.
Yeah,
it's has been that that unity of oneness in marriage.
You said a couple things there. You said both have to be willing to fight.
Yes,
I wanted to ask, but don't answer yet. But I'm gonna ask. You know, were there moments where you guys wanted to throw in the towel, even when you both are trying to fight to stay together and to make the marriage work? Because I know we're in a culture right now where there's literally billboards that say divorce and here's the phone number. It's just so easy to just move on to the next. So that's my first question. And then number two would be, gosh, I had it on the top of my head right now. This sex part. Were there moments where it just, like, how do you have, and I say it because I speak it from experience. It's like, how do you have sex when you're kind of disgusted by the other person?
Yeah, so I can answer that one because obviously I remember the first time. The first time I had sex again, I knew that it was my weapon against the enemy that was going to help heal our marriage. And so that first time I slapped him and I cried and I said, I'm only doing this because I know I'm supposed to. I don't even want to do this. And he held me and I remember that was up for that one. And then the next time I'm like, but I have to stay like, I have to stay consistent. I have to do this. Like, I have to gain my territory back because that's what the enemy lost. And so I didn't see myself as the other woman. I am his woman, and the other woman is the other woman. And so I didn't give myself a second status position. I put myself back in the position that that was my marriage and that was my man. And so,
so good.
I did that. And then the first one, yes, there was plenty of times we wanted to throw in the towel, but we made a commitment, and we also would look at our children. Like, man, if we're not doing it for us, we're going to do it for them. And they're going to be help us be that anchor. And in that, the Lord just did what he did in our work and then the Lord and then our children. And now we get to live that out. And if I could add one last thing, the sex, but it's all the other the component, too, is in really accepting who we are individually. He came in with such a amazing leadership gifting. Obviously, I was too hurt to see that. And he also was not healthy in the way he was delivering it. And so, but if his leadership gifting is what has helped me be the woman that I am today. He's an exhorter. He'll tell me straight out, and it doesn't feel good. It's not romantic. It's not nice, but I know that that's who he is. And he's also embraced my gifting. And he understands, like, when I'm questioning things, it's not because I don't trust him. It's because that's the way my mind is set. I'm a doctor. I went to school for this. Like, they taught me for, like, 8 years of my life, no, 12 years of my life, to question everything, to prove it with science, to prove. Cause that, and so when I do that with him, he's had to learn it's not against me. That's just who she is. And in that, then something else can come out of it. So we've had to really learn how to embrace our individuality and our individual essence to really, really love who the Bunny Agua essence is, which is both of us.
So at the end of the day, it's so important to heal each other as an individual. And then that can also start healing you guys together as a marriage.
Absolutely.
Which I had it so reverse. I wanted to fix my marriage, but I didn't want to fix me first. Yes. I wanted Jackie to get fixed first. That's right. And I've started learning through you guys. It's no, I got to put in the work, and it's not about fairness. That's a lie. There's no such thing as fair. If God wants you to die 100 times before she dies once, that's just the way it goes.
Come on.
And I've learned that through you guys, so that's awesome. Yeah. Where do you find each other? Let me rephrase that. Because to close the podcast, I want to ask, where do you find each other now as a couple, and how much, I want to cry, how much more in love are you guys now?
Man, now you're going to make me cry. Man, I love this woman so much. I treasure her. We're coming back in the plane right now from Ohio State, and I told Noah in the airport in the plane. I said, "Man, make sure your wife is going to be a good mother as well, because there's this component of wanting to dream together as a couple, but also building something. So not only dream with your wife, but also build with your wife." And man, that's what I love about Tanya, is that I've been able to dream with her, and I've been able to build with her, and we're getting ready to be empty nesters within a year. And man, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to walk around naked with her at home. We've already told the kids, if you're here.
Man, we're crying, and you gotta say naked, bro. Like,
I'm like, I already told them, man. Like, you gotta go to college, or you gotta go do something, because we're done. We're done raising kids. Like, Tanya's been raising kids since she was 15. And so,
yeah, that's so true.
You know, and so, yeah, man, I love this woman so much, and thankful for her. And every day, you know, I look at those kids and the grandkids, and man, I would never have imagined what the humility and the work that was done over 18 years ago. The fruit that it was produced today, and seeing the three kids go to college, it's been amazing, and all the couples that we walk with and everything, and I really believe that our passion really comes from seeing the kids that have been in divorce, divorced families, with the two oldest ones and all the families. Like, man, we want to step in the gap for them, No one speaks for them when there's a divorce. No one asks them what they want, you know, in the divorce.
They're doing.
And how they're doing, and, you know, what their wishes are. And I think that's really what what fuels our passion in what we do, is making sure that we're able to help those kids that don't have a voice in the divorce have a voice. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I see myself. Gosh, going strong. Yeah. I work out till I can have sex, Mike. I gotta have the stamina, bro. That's on the real. I work out, I stay in shape, because, man, that's the first thing that happens when you don't work out and you're not healthy and fit. It affects the bed.
I've noticed it.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah. I'm not saying that's, well, I mean, yeah, that's the truth. I am working out because it builds up your testosterone.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
I think at this stage of my life, our love is deeper. It's not, and when you first get married, it is superficial. Not that it's not real, it's just superficial. And I think when we look at, like, everything that we have gone through, it's deeper. And there is that commitment. There is that commitment that, like, when that person that I was so independent before, and now this time we went to the trip together, and I was like, I love to travel with you. Like, I was by myself the last time, and he's like, "You just like someone que te esté molestando y jodiendo." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, but that's part of what who we are.
Who you are,
I miss that when it's not around. And I can do stuff on myself, but I choose not to, because this life is so much better. And so, I love you.
Yeah, I love you.
We have grown to.
I'll
be
turn around. You guys can kiss. You guys can kiss.
A better version of ourselves. So this is who
that's
we
awesome.
Are. This
that's
is our
awesome.
Story.
That's really good. And more importantly, you know, speaking a little bit in what you guys said right now, the children you mentioned, it's like, how good is it that it's not Christmas at Rudy's house, and next year it's Christmas at Tanya's house.
Right.
There's no, and we don't think of that. Like, selfishly, when we think of divorce, it's just about me.
That's right.
I just don't want to be with her anymore. Yeah. And little do you know, like, that sucks for the kids, man. I grew up in a household where I shared Christmas, and it's such an ugly feeling, because, and I've never been asked. Yeah, I'm healing right now. I've never been asked, how did that make me feel? So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I mean, for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for joining the podcast, sharing your testimony. I hope many people can either relate, or if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. I'm going to be putting the Breath of Life information there. You'll be able to reach out via email, cell phone, phone number, address. Everything's going to be there, guys. I don't know if you guys want to share your Instagrams one more time, because I know they had it last time, but let's get them again.
Yeah, my personal one is Dr. Tanya Paniagua, and then the Breath of Life one is Breath of Life Foundation.
And my Insta is RevRudy1, and then my Facebook, Rudy Paniagua.
All right, guys. So please, if you guys are interested in hearing more about the story or just more for your self healing, feel free to reach out.
Thank you for allowing us. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, so proud of you. Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining the Mac Effect. I appreciate it. You guys know, as my people that I heal with, how this is a dream come true for me.
Yep.
And that's why we're proud of you.
So thank you.
You didn't give up.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. Guys, thank you for tuning in to the Mac Effect.